I want to ask you, you know, what, now that you've been back on the ice, we talked to your mixed doubles partner, John Epping, a little while ago and got his thoughts on how it's been adjusting to the pandemic. For you, back on the ice, what's been, I guess, the biggest adjustment to curling in a pandemic?
That's a good question. I'm first of all just so happy to be back out on the ice and really grateful to be able to be curling and definitely not taking that for granted. Definitely a sense of gratitude every time I'm able to step out on the ice. Definitely a few changes like wearing masks and keeping some distance and no handshakes and things like that. So it was a bit of an adjustment the first few times playing, just thinking about where to stand and who was sweeping what rock and things like that. But overall, it's been a pretty quick adjustment, and I think everyone's really happy to just be out on the ice and able to play.
Yeah, no kidding. I think like so many things, Lisa, feels like they've been disrupted, and with the pandemic, and not just sports, but just people's lives in general. So I think getting some normalcy back, I'm sure, contributes or goes a long way. Maybe is a better way of saying it. I'm curious, just on the mask wearing. Everyone deals with it differently, certainly. But when it comes to actually competing in an athletic event, did you guys have to experiment with different ones, like medical ones versus cloth ones, for example?
Yeah, we did. And just trying to find what was the best for us that we felt safe in, but also were able to sweep and recover from sweeping as quickly as possible. So I usually change my mask during the game. Yeah, you know, it's a bit of an adjustment, but if that's what it takes to keep everyone else healthy and keep myself healthy, then it really doesn't feel like a sacrifice at all.
For sure.
Lisa Weigel's with us. And, you know, so now that you're with Team Jennifer Jones, which is based out of Manitoba, you know, with the pandemic, how has it changed for you? Have you had to relocate at all? Like, how are you guys adjusting, you know, as a new member of the team? And, you know, I guess what's changed really for you in terms of, I guess, your day-to-day as you begin with a new rink?
Yeah, it's been interesting. We've had to be very flexible with our scheduling. We talked a lot over the summer about what would be ideal and what events were going to go, and then things keep changing. So, of course, the plans for the team keep changing. So we played two events in Kitchener at the beginning of the season, and I'll be playing with the team in Okotoks next weekend, and then another one in Red Deer in a few weeks. So there's been events in Ontario and Alberta that we've been able to plan so far.
And I guess when it comes to the larger events, I mean, of course, we're learning, or starting to learn, waiting, watching to see what happens with the Brier and the Scotties, certainly. I just wondered, with these kind of mid-tier events, I guess, for professional athletes, obviously motivation is probably never an issue. But I just wonder, with things still kind of up in the air, how has the I guess the energy level, the engagement been, looking forward to something like not just the Brier or the Scotties, but maybe even the Olympic trials qualifications?
Yeah, there's a lot of events and kind of some, we're just kind of waiting and seeing on them. Like with the Grand Slam series, not having those has certainly felt a little bit different this fall. And trying to take some of these events that are going ahead in clubs and making them feel a little bit more like trials or like a Grand Slam event. And we're still waiting for confirmation on the Scotties and what's going to happen with that. Curling Canada hasn't made any official announcements, but they've been keeping us informed and in the loop. So for us, it's taking our training opportunities and our spiel opportunities when we have them and trying to make them as competitive as possible and simulate some of those environments where we can in training situations.
I guess the one thing that can't be simulated, and I'm sure is really missed, is the absence of fans. And, you know, especially at those bigger events, and really in general, you know, curling is such a unique sport because the fans are right on top of you. It's a very intimate setting. And I guess for you, what's been the biggest adjustment to no fans? And has it been, you know, eerie in some ways, curling without fans in attendance?
We definitely miss them, but so far the events I've played in have been in curling clubs. So generally the fans are behind the glass, but I'm sure if the situation comes where we're in an arena without fans, it might feel a little bit weird. So I know we're all looking forward to this pandemic being over and the day that, you know, fans can return to sports and have that environment back again. I don't think anyone will take it for granted.
So, Lisa, you know, we were kind of talking about the Breyer and the Scotties and so on, and how there's the potential, and again, like you said, Curling Canada hasn't announced anything, but there is a potential for this Calgary bubble. And I guess, like we have seen when the NBA was doing it in Orlando and when the NHL was doing their bubble in Toronto and Edmonton, it does certainly require buy-in, right? Like, and not just by the players, has requires buy-in from the coaches, buy-in from the staff who work the events, and from top to bottom, it requires buy-in. Do you think that from your perhaps conversations about a potential bubble with whether it's your teammates or other people in the curling world, that there would be a perhaps a higher level of buy-in when it comes to that?
I think so. And I know that there's a lot of factors involved and a lot of approvals that need to happen and a lot of people that need to sign off on it and also be a part of it. So I know Curling Canada is doing everything they can to make it happen, and especially with the Olympics kind of a year and a half away, I guess, that, you know, they're trying to get it right, and they're taking the time to make sure they're going to have the safest possible option for everyone, not just the athletes, but for everyone who's involved with an event of that size.
With the adjustment to a new rink with Team Jones, I guess, you know, how much has your role changed? You know, we talked last time about the tick shot and your role with Team Homan as a lead for so many years. You know, is it still in the early stages of figuring out exactly where you're going to fit and, you know, how much you'll be playing? Or do you have a pretty good sense of how things might be going into the future here with Team Jones?
Yeah, we're still kind of taking it event by event and day by day, but I've been able to play in the first two events with the team, and that was really great. And we were all kind of laughing after the first couple of games because it felt like I'd been on the team forever. So it hasn't really been a huge adjustment, which has been really great. And I've loved getting to know all my teammates and spending a bit more time with them, and really looking forward to the next opportunities where we get to play and train together.
You know, do expectations change at all because we're in a pandemic with a new team? Obviously, it's one of the best teams rinks in the world. And, you know, a player of your caliber going, the expectations would still be very high. Does all of the uncertainty just with the pandemic change those expectations? Or do you guys still feel like if there are high-level events that you will be right in the mix to win a lot of them?
Yeah, we have very high expectations for ourselves and for each other. And you know, stepping into this team and playing with some of the best curlers in the world, and that's really exciting. And so we've been taking the time to train and make sure, you know, some of those little details, like how are we going to sweep and communicate, and are we all throwing on similar lines? So we have a little extra time right now, actually, to work on some of those things that maybe you wouldn't be able to work on with a really heavy spiel schedule. So we're trying to take full advantage of this time. And then when we get it on the ice and we're against our competitors, it's full on into that competitive mode.
I guess, you know, one thing I'm curious about and interested about is, obviously, the curling off season is such where, you know, you don't have the access to ice in the summer, and that's really your off season. But, you know, with such a long pause with the pandemic shutdown back in March, do you think that, you know, whether it's yourself or members of your team or just in general, maybe you were in better shape for the start of the season with so much time to really, I'm sure, you know, work out, go to the gym, you know, do whatever exercises you normally do, and maybe you feel as though you're in as good or maybe better shape entering a season than you've been before?
Yeah, I can only speak for myself on that one, but I made a conscious decision to try and use the time as productively as possible. So I wasn't able to go to the gym, but my husband and I built a little gym in our basement, and we were in a Peloton, and have just really tried to make the most of that time, and was able to kind of rehab some old injuries, build some strength. So for me, I feel like I'm coming into the season mentally and physically in a really good place.
So Lisa, thinking then about, you know, talking about we're coming into this season now, and I had seen that the domestic ranking point system, it's on hold, I guess, until the end of the month, until the end of November. How does that affect the season so far with that being on hold? Like, what kind of, like, does it just create uncertainty going into the Grand Slam events?
Well, I think it is the fair thing to do. I mean, there's so many teams spread out across the country, and depending on where you're living, there may be more events available to you, or for the teams that are in Atlantic Canada, they can't really leave the bubble. So I think putting the points on hold is the right thing to do. So it gives teams a bit of latitude as well in terms of how much training do you want to do? Are you feeling comfortable traveling to events or not? So there isn't that kind of pressure that if maybe you're uncomfortable with travel that you would have to. We've been assured by Curling Canada that they're doing what they can to make sure that the trials process is fair, because I think that's really top of mind for a lot of the teams right now, is how is the trials going to happen for women's and men's curlings, but for mixed doubles as well. So it's kind of like we're sitting and waiting, but I think we've got to put our trust in Curling Canada that they're going to make decisions that are in the best interest of the sport and of their athletes.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you how the continued, I guess, development of your mixed doubles partnership with John Epping, who we've had on a couple of times. Always good to talk to him. I know you guys played a couple of events earlier, a couple of months ago. Is it something that you're going to continue to look to do? Just, I guess, give us an update on how things are going with you and John.
Yeah, we just played an event last weekend, and we played one earlier in the season as well. And it's been really good. We made it to the semis in both of them. And it's certainly a bit of a learning curve just in terms of the mixed doubles as a sport. But also for me, throwing last rock is something that I'm really not used to. And it's kind of interesting with mixed doubles. You throw the last rock and then you've got to throw the first rock. So mentally, it's been a bit of an adjustment. But I think it's really good for me, and I think it's going to make me a better player overall. And John is just an awesome partner to have for mixed doubles, and we have a ton of fun together, and looking forward to whatever the next events that we can play in. And it certainly is, you know, a focus for us. Obviously our men's and women's teams come number one, but this mixed doubles thing, I think we're looking at it as good competition and good training as well.
Appreciate you taking some time for us again. Continued success as you really get your feet under you with Team Jones, and hope to chat again as we get further along into the season and get an update with you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.